Hello, I'm Stephen Goodwin. It's Tuesday the 18th of December, and this is episode 15 of The Beer Crate. This is the festive edition with lots and lots more stuff than usual, so we'll cut the music. Basically, we have news, why beer is better than wine, a review of the Black Sheep Brewery, an interview with Mr. John Grogan MP, a festive quick tastings, and a very special Christmas try before you die. So let's get cracking. News, and low-cost supermarket beer is in the news again. This time with Prime Minister Gordon Brown weighing in on the issue. He's been speaking to John Grogan MP, as have we, as to what can be done and the issues involved. And since we'll be discussing this issue with John Grogan later in the show, we'll let him explain. The demise of London's pubs are again in the news, this time thanks to a full two-page spread in the London paper on Monday. Among the scaremongering, it does seem it's not all bad news, since a number of publicans are selling more food to compensate. So perhaps it's more correct to say that beer culture is in decline rather than pub culture. Alas, the article makes references to a number of statistics about beer, all of which unfortunately confirm the saying of lies, damn lies, and statistics. For example, a pint in London can cost £4. That's true, but comparing it to a pint can of 54p supermarket lager is not a like-for-like comparison. Particularly as no one compares a microwave-ready meal with a Gordon Ramsay steak, which is essentially what they're doing here. As always, it's best to look a little closer. PDX is a new process to save time and energy in the brewing process. Here, steam is shot into the brewing vat to speed up the process. It's currently on trial at Coors in Burton-on-Trent, so I look forward to doing a blind tasting at some point in the future. And Thwaites have won the English Style Ale Gold Award at the European Beer Star event for Lancaster Bomber. It's the first Thwaites beer to have won this award, and it couldn't have happened to a nicer beer. And marketing manager Lee Williams certainly sounded positive about their success. As far as I know, all the beer festivals have ended for this year, so there is no drinker's diary. This is a traditional change of season, where the quality of supping ale is replaced for quantity at Christmas parties. But if you're still gagging, then at the 7th Derby 12th Night Winter Beer Festival, which begins on the 3rd of January, to your calendar for next year. Why is beer better than wine? There are many reasons, so in reality this should be part 1 of 74, but in the interest of brevity I'll give just one. Namely, you can eat cheese with beer. Sure, the old argument is that you should have cheese and wine parties. The problem is that no matter how weak the cheese, it will almost always destroy the taste and subtleties of the wine. That's the reason we always have the alternative wine and wine parties when we are at university. Cheese, like most milk-based products, leave a thin coating over the tongue and on the stomach lining. This stops many other tastes from getting there. Curry aficionados know this already and use the principle in reverse. They drink lassi to coat the stomach to stop the hot chilies from hurting. In contrast, a cheese coating will get destroyed by the carbonation found in beer, allowing both tastes to fuse together in the mouth. Because wine doesn't have this carbonation, it can't get through. Although some will argue that you should always contrast flavours between food and drink, when it comes to beer, I think most people prefer similar tastes in both, so they can complement and bring each other out. So for example, a cheese with a strong nutty flavour, such as Gruyere, should be matched with a nutty brown ale. IPAs with their overly hoppiness will often work well with the more mature cheddars, as both share a certain sharpness on the tongue, and goat's cheeses, and those containing fruit, often work very well with the Belgian fruit beers. Long-time listeners to the podcast will remember my recommendation for mixing blue cheese with Brax Beer Triple, both matching because of the spices present. This is a good excuse to experiment over Christmas, and beer and cheese does go together better than wine and cheese. Black Sheep has a heritage that stretches back over six generations, despite being just 14 years old. This is because the current owner, Paul Theakson, has had a family brewing in Marsham since 1827, when Robert Theakson first took a lease on the Black Ball Inn. However, when Scottish and Newcastle took control in 1987, after nearly 20 years of independent wranglings, it was only a matter of time before Paul started up on his own. Using the old Maltings building from the Lightfoot Brewery, Paul began searching for authentic equipment to brew beer in a time-honoured and non-commercial fashion, until in 1992 the first beers were ready, and under the name Black Sheep, a reference to both the Marsham Sheep Fair and a sly reference to the earlier family struggle, the beers were made available. Black Sheep's best known beer is the cask ale Black Sheep Bitter, although their Black Sheep Ale is also well known, being available as it is in bottles. Black Sheep also produce a couple of tie-ins, with Emmerdale and Monty Python being the more famous. But despite this blatant commercialism, it shouldn't denigrate their ability to make beer. And definitely try a Black Sheep if you can. This week, we have an interview with Mr. John Grogan, MP. He's the Member of Parliament for Selby in Tadcaster, the only town to still have three major breweries, which, if I remember correctly, are Sam Smith's, John Smith's and Coors. He's also been the Labour Member of Parliament for the Selby constituency since 1997, and most importantly for us, is the chair of the All-Party Parliamentary Beer Group. This interview was conducted in his parliamentary office last week with, I'm afraid to say, just the one microphone. Consequently, some questions have an audio fidelity problem. I hope you bear with us. Mr. John Grogan, MP, welcome to the Beer Crate.
I'm very glad to be here.
The first question I have to ask, yes. As you are the all-party parliamentary beer group,
yes.
Chair, is this just a drinking club for the MPs?
Well, it's a tough job, but someone's got to do it, I guess. But no, I mean, there is a social element to it. As we speak, we're surrounded by a few crates of beer which are going to our Christmas party, which is one of the heights of the season in the Commons. But also, obviously, there's a whole range of serious issues to deal with. The beer group was instrumental in working with the health lobby, for example, for a complete smoking ban rather than a partial ban. We were instrumental in doing one of the early reports on the reforms of the licensing laws. And in the new year, we'll be meeting ministers about beer duty. So there is a substantial serious side as well as the social side.
Indeed. And is this an advisory role that you say we think you should do this? Or what sort of power and teeth do you have?
You just have the power and teeth of argument and influence, really. It's the biggest all-party group in in Parliament at the moment, I think. It shows the sign of the times. 30 years ago, the all-party, or 40 years ago, the all-party temperance group was a big one, but that has now disappeared. So it is big, but it has no statutory function in the House, really. It's an interest group, but it does have the power of argument and influence, and patrons are people like Ken Clark and so on, and Gordon Brown was our beer drinker of the year 1 year when he introduced preferential tax for microbreweries. So we include the Parliament's movers and shakers amongst our members.
And are they all proper beer drinkers, or have you got some lager boys hiding in the back?
Oh, well, you know, there's a fine tradition of it. We're not camera, you know, we are the all-party beer group, and so lager drinkers are welcome.
So does this therefore cover the relationship you have with other countries, such as advising customs and excise, on sort of beer imports, as it were?
Duty is a big issue, and it's one we, you know, constantly are discussing with ministers and so on. So, yeah, that comes within our remit.
I mean, customs, for a lot of beer drinkers that do the booze cruise,
yes,
don't get a good rep particularly, because they want to bring even more back,
yes,
sort of issues. If the sort of levy was sort of reduced on that, would that help so customs could do, you know, catching drug smuggling and other what would be potentially more important things?
It's an interesting argument, isn't it? Because I've been banging on for the last few weeks about supermarket low prices and how and I suppose, you know, supermarkets first started discounting as a direct result of pressure from cheap alcohol from abroad, didn't they, really? So, I think we're a little ambiguous about that.
Because that's one of the questions, yeah, obviously, that comes on to later.
But yes,
we'll bring it up now. This week has seen the, how should we say, very public...
Sure.
Mentioning of Mr. Terence, Sir Terence.
Indeed.
Leahy.
Happy Christmas to him and all his family, yes.
The godfather of British binge drinking.
Yes.
Fantastic soundbite.
Yes.
What's the serious message?
Well, the serious message is every little helps, really. And, you know, Tesco's and the big supermarkets, unlike the pubs and the clubs, are not really treating binge drinking seriously. And no one says that Tesco's are the cause of binge drinking in Britain. But unlike the pubs, they won't say they'll sign up to a code outlawing irresponsible promotions. Unlike the pubs, they're selling alcohol massively below cost in order to increase footfall in supermarkets. So I'm not saying that politicians should fix the price of beer or anything like that. It would clearly be absurd, nor should it be prohibitively expensive so the ordinary man or woman in the street can't buy it. But it just seemed, you know, 3 crates of Stella for 20 quid? That's 60 bottles. I mean, that's not the family shop, is it? That's I don't know many families who get 3 crates for 20.
That's the football match, yeah, crowd, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's the crowd. Student unions are struggling, I'm told, mm-hmm. up and down the country, because students are getting tanked up before they go out. And if they do, mm-hmm. academic studies would indicate they're about 3 times more likely to be involved in a punch up.
There are other things that will also contribute to that. Video games get blamed on the other weeks when drinking isn't.
So yes.
Is the problem actually the drink, or is it there isn't anything else to do and there's no social controls and there's actually a bigger problem and this is this week's scapegoat?
There's clearly a bigger problem, but, cheap alcohol at, that sort of price clearly must have some sort of impact. I mean, alcohol consumption is going down. I'm not trying to scaremonger about it across the population as a whole, but there are a group of people for whom it is going up, and that sort of availability of alcohol, cheaper than water, you can't market alcohol like you can't market baked beans, really, basically, is all I'm saying to Sir Terence, and I think he's beginning to get the message.
Yes, because I don't remember binge drinking being a big thing, or at least a publicised thing, when the booze cruises first started. I remember when much smaller.
Sure.
People would go across, that was cheap.
But yes.
There didn't seem to be the problems associated with that.
No. I mean, maybe it's because it's just so accessible now, 24 hours a day in some supermarkets cases. But they've got to do something, that's all I'm saying. And I think they will do in 2008. It's one of my confident predictions.
It's one of the phrases I've heard you mention a few times this last week, is the irresponsible drink promotions.
Yes.
Do you have a specific example of what constitutes?
Well, three crates of Stella for 20 quid,
just
cheaper than
cheap.
Water, is, pilot high. Mm-hmm. Look at Asda's last year's supermarket's advert for Christmas. I haven't seen this year's, a group of lads piling crates of beer in the back of the van or the back of the car. I mean, they didn't look like they were doing the family shop. I mean, 3 crates, grandma doesn't drink that much, does she, when she comes around for Christmas?
So no, is this not just the way that supermarkets have always worked? You know, it's the capitalist way, and I'm told that's good.
Well, they're obviously always keenly discounted. I think it's a new phenomenon. For years they'd say, we can't possibly measure whether we sell alcohol below cost. And then lo and behold, the Competition Commission came around and you could see they produced figures. 150 million was their first estimate. They revised it. But clearly they've been now found out they can measure it. They're doing it deliberately. Yeah. So I think that's new.
Do you know what the current figure is of how much?
No, I don't know. Over a period of time, big supermarkets discounted it for 150 million. The Competition Commission said this was during the last World Cup, but then the supermarkets came back and said that was wrong. It was a lower figure during the World Cup, but that implied that they weren't just discounting during the World Cup. They were discounting, every possible excuse. Bonfire night, Christmas, Easter, Mother's Day. They don't need an excuse.
Only seems to be things like Stella, though.
Well, it's high-strength continental lager on the whole. Mm. And I'll tell you who's mad about this. Small brewers, because they can't get their, on the whole, except for the odd exception, they can't get their products into Tesco's. And and if they were in there competing against 3 crates of Stella for 20 quid, they wouldn't sell that many. So it's not just in the interest of health and reducing crime and so on. Small brewers are really up in arms about this as well.
The small brewers do have a number of sort of tax incentives and that to sort of still compete. Are there any other outlets that we can get? Because they're the ones I prefer.
Your preference has been met, really, in recent years, hasn't it? There's a massive explosion. I was only in Brussels at the Beer Group Christmas party in the European Parliament the other week, and there was tons of microbrewers from Wales and young entrepreneurs, and that wouldn't have happened 20 years ago. And they're beginning to get there. Some of them are selling into the pub chains, aren't they? Some of the pub chains are doing deals, and you've got to work out the distribution and that type of thing. But some of them are getting some of the smaller brewers into their markets.
That's my hope for next year, more small brewers out there.
Yes, well, let's drink to that.
Indeed. Actually, thinking of price briefly, the actual taxes on beer seem to be higher than wines and ciders and everything else.
Yes.
Is this also as a direct response to alcoholism or violence on the streets, or is there another innate reason why beer is more heavily taxed?
I think it's almost historic, really. I don't think it's a deliberate policy, but this is something the beer group and indeed the beer industry are trying to highlight in the run-up to the budget. The difference between beer taxation and cider taxation and spirits as well. So there is a danger in 2008 of war breaking out between cider and whiskey and beer, I think.
Yeah. I would like to be in on that.
Yes.
Because I would like to differentiate beer, because everyone says beer.
Sure.
But there's top fermented, bottom fermented.
No, there is.
Lager.
No, there is.
Stouts,
there is.
They're not same. They're not sold to the same
clientele. No, they're not.
But we are lumped in. I say we as beer drinkers are lumped in with the Stella boys that will go out for a punch up. And I don't like paying this extra.
No, I'm more Catholic in my taste than you are, I think. You know, there's some pretty fine lagers. Orval, for example, my favourite Belgium lager. And to be fair to Artois, you know, they're trying to rebrand themselves as La Famille Artois, aren't they? I mean, man, I think they're making a good effort. And
they did fall foul of the advertising people for trying it, though.
They did, but I think they're a major employer. You know, you've got to deal with the big boys as well as to be realistic. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's actually in the Parliament bar? Not John Smith's and Foster's, presumably.
Well, we have a wide range. Slightly through Robert Humphreys, the beer group secretary's influence, there's a guest ale in every week. So it changes week by week. I haven't been in this week, so I've been working hard. I'm not sure what it was last week. In fact, I don't think I've been in for a couple of weeks, really, you know. Working hard in my office.
Note to self, arrange these more often, and I'll drag you down there so we can find out what's going.
Yeah, thank you.
We need to know. So if you were trapped on a desert island, not that I'm planning it,
no.
What would be your summer ale to take with you?
Oh, whether it's summer, winter or autumn or spring, as I say, my favourite ale is Orval.
Good choice.
Yes.
Because the other question would normally have been, and if you're trapped in the icy tundra, what winter ale?
The seasons of the year are come and go, but Orval remains.
Really good. Mr. John Crogan, MP, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And again, thanks to Mr. John Grogan, MP, for that interview. And for those that are curious about which beers are on its way to the party, the ones I spotted in crates were Oberon from the Ukraine and Moosehead from Canada. Both will be reviewed in the new year. Quick tastings. In this section, we give a brief yet discriminating summary of a number of different beers from around the world. All have been personally tasted and graded. Naturally, everyone has different tastes, and these are mine, so your mileage may vary. Snicklemas from Elgood's. This is a 5% beer with a musky golden brown colour. It is quite light with good caramel and touches of tiger, which is also the Elgood's beer. It's okay as an ale, but not really anything special for the season. 7 out of 10. Santa's Little Helper from Caledonia. This is copper red in colour with a large foam head and already looks like the Christmas part. It has a malt aroma with a sweet caramel taste but ends in a bitterness. Slight tangs of fruit and leaf here as well, adding to the Christmassy spirit. It's 3.7% and 7.5 out of 10. Steam Sleigh from the RCH Brewery. This comes in at 3.8% and is a light gold with a bitter caramel. That's to say the caramel itself is actually bitter, which is interesting in itself. It's a light beer with a citrus zest and a small but pleasant head. It has a sweet aroma and is pleasant enough, but not very Christmassy. 7 out of 10. Good King Legless from Harveston. 4.5%. This beer has a mellow taste that drops smoothly down and has a bite at the back of the throat. There's a sharp bitterness here, and this follows through to the back of the tongue. There is a slight scent of orange peel and malt, and has much more of a Christmassy kind of taste than the other beers. Also, in keeping with the Christmas theme, it has a very silly name. Not that that works against it, because it's a well-earned 7 out of 10. Try Before You Die. In this section of the show, we will cast a discerning eye over the best beers that this world has to offer.
We shall mention its history, the brewery behind the beer, and why we feel this is a superior brew worthy of your attention.
This week, a Fleegham Noel from the Fleegham Abbey Brewery. This is a perfect winner for the Christmas Try Before You Die because it both looks and feels like a Christmas beer. Visually, there's a solid copper body with beige head and would pass as a Christmas decoration in most homes. Taste-wise, it's rich and slightly dry, with as many spicy indulgences as you could possibly get into a beer. In fact, it's a wonder that so many spices can appear into the beer as it is without you feeling overwhelmed. There's fruit and sugary malts, aniseed, nutmeg, citrus and raisin. These actually all work together unlike some other spice beers, and it's very rich and very interesting. If you only try it once, make sure it is at Christmas, because although you can drink it all year round, some people will find it too rich. As you'd expect, Noel is the seasonal offering from the Fleegham Brewery, which is an abbey that brews three main types of beer, the other two being postal beer and op ale. The abbey itself is located on the border of Brabant and Flanders, and built in 1074 after six knights gave up their pillaging ways to become Benedictine monks. Being in such an unstable region, the abbey has been destroyed and rebuilt several times, and have even had their copper vats stolen during the First World War. Things are more stable now, however, and since 1970 have been brewing successfully without incident. You can visit the church attached to the abbey, although being monks they generally don't like being disturbed, but instead you can visit the cultural centre next door, which serves cheese and beer and is a pleasant way to spend an afternoon. Okay, that wraps it up for this week, and indeed, this year. The Beer Crate will be taking a well-earned rest to sober up after Christmas, and to try a number of other interesting and unique beers for review in the new year.
To give us a tasting of your opinions, you can email us on thebeercrate@gmail.com. If you prefix the subject line with two colons, you can be sure to avoid the spam filters. Remember to enjoy everything from the Beer Crate safely and responsibly, so you can be back here with us next week. Until then, cheers. This podcast has been released under the Creative Commons Attribution, No Commercial, No Derivatives version. See www.thebeercrate.com for details.